for such a time as this. We worship you tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen, amen. Just give someone a high five next to you and say, it's awesome to be in God's presence. Welcome to church. It's wonderful. So good to see you guys here tonight. Who's excited to be in God's presence tonight? Who's expectant for something tonight? For God to move? Amen. We serve a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. We serve a God of passion. We serve a God who's greater than anything else in this world. Amen. I have just had a life-changing week. Amen. I had to go all the way to London to catch some fire. Amen. Revival fire. I'm going to talk about revival fire tonight. Okay. I'm so excited for what God is going to do. I'm burning. I'm supposed to be sleeping because I haven't slept for the last while. I've been flying. This is my third flight. I landed here at 5:45 and thanks to Johan and Neil for rushing me to here. But I've just been on an awesome mission. Greatest mission that I've been on. Life changing. God has spoken to me. I feel like I'm saved all over again. And so I just want to impart some of that to you tonight. I'm just going to tell some stories and then we're going to worship God again, because God is doing amazing things, amen, all over the world. I'm going to tell you some stories tonight of what God is doing in what we think is the most hardened of hearts. God is starting to change lives. God is starting to change. He's bringing revival amongst the young people. Who's young here tonight? Because God is doing revival amongst the young people, and I am awesomely excited to be so young tonight and to be so part of it, okay? Someone said to me this in London when I was there. He was from Pretoria and they're living there now, and I think he saw me about a year or two ago, and so he comes up to me and he greets me, but like he can be quite a serious guy, but I found out afterwards he's quite a grapkas, you know. And so he says to me, I like said, his name's Miao. He's got a weird name, Polish, and he's actually from Polish descent. But so we greet each other and he looks at me and he goes, I'm like so excited to see him, and he goes, you have got so old. And I'm thinking, yeah, I can see the gray hairs are just increasing, obviously. But I'm definitely not old tonight, okay? I'm as young as can be, because the Spirit of God is moving upon my life. I want to say tonight that God has a dream. Amen? God has a great dream, okay? I have got a dream as well. I had a dream, and now I've got a dream again, because I lost my dream for a while. I lost a bit of my passion. I'm doing church, going through the motions, just being a Christian. So I lost a bit of the dream that God actually placed in my heart. But that dream is back again. Praise the Lord. Okay. Because I've got a dream to see lots of people get saved. Amen. I've got a dream to see the kingdom of God come. I've got a dream to see God move in mighty ways like He's never moved before. I don't know if you've got that dream, but that is God's dream. God is dreaming about revival. Amen. God has been dreaming about revival since the beginning, and He's still dreaming about revival. God's dream is not dead. Amen. Revival is not dead. Amen. I think you guys saw it a little bit last Wednesday night, okay? And that's just the start. That's just the start of it. That's just a tip of the iceberg. But this last week I discovered again God's dream, or more of God's dream. God wants to bring revival. God wants to bring reformation. You know what reformation is? It's to return to the original purpose, to bring that thing back to the original purpose that it was designed for. God is into reformation. God is into revival, to bring something back to life that's supposed to be dead or alive. It's died and it's going to come back to life. And I sense tonight that some of our dreams, some of our hopes, some of our faith is going to be revived tonight. Amen. Is anyone excited for that tonight? Because some of us have lost our dream, because I'm not the only one that lost my dream. I'm not the only one that just, you know, became a lukewarm Christian, because that's what I was. But I trust God for the fire to burn in our hearts, because I had encounter after encounter with the Lord this past week. The first one happened in a place called Aldersgate Street in London. So we're doing a tour of London. And we're doing the Monopoly thing, you know, Hercules Opperman, who's the general manager of Shofar, his sister is awesome with designing stuff, and she made us a little Monopoly game. We broke up into teams, and we had to go to various places and like pray there and speak the God's word there, and it was so cool. So we get to this one place, and they had organized a tour of this. It wasn't really a tour, it was just a guy to speak to us about one of the greatest revivals that happened back in the 1700s by a guy called John Wesley. Anyone heard of John Wesley? So now there's a statue there, or not a statue, it's like a, it looks like a page, but it's folded over at the top, the bottom, and on the sides. And so this guy asked us, what do you think this looks like? And are we, it's like a piece of metal that's been folded over. It's like, no, what does it really look like? Oh, it's a page, and it looks like a page out of a book or something. Then he said, no, you know what, it's a flame. It's in the form of a flame. With John Wesley's diary of that day that he got saved. So I'm standing there with my sunglasses on and just the tears start to come. It's like I just had this encounter with the Lord. And this guy's talking about John Wesley and just the amazing revival that took place through his life and his brother. And they got saved basically at that place. That's a monument of a monument of where he basically got saved, the area in which he committed his life to the Lord. And on that, I'll show you guys a picture next week if you come to church next week. I'll show you a picture of what it looks like. But at the bottom of his testimony, it says the following. It says, in the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street. A society in those days was a church. He went to a church there in that street that we were at, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About 8:45 in the evening, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt that I did indeed trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and he had saved me from the law of sin and death. The bottom of the page out of his diary, the testimony of when John Wesley got saved. And we know the rest of the story. If you read church history, John Wesley changed Britain and he changed the world. It was part of God's amazing revival in the 1800s. It happened in 1738. And his brother Charles also got saved. But this guy who was leading this thing told us that at the time there was a massive revival of prayer and people started to pray for revival. And John Wesley was just one of the guys who got saved because people were praying. People were hungry and thirsty for revival to break out. And for me, it was just such an amazing experience. You had to be in London of all places and I'm like catching a bit of the fire. That John Wesley experienced, the warmth in his heart, where he just knew that he knew that he knew he's saved and that he's got a calling and a purpose. And it was a warmth. A warmth came upon him. And so tonight, I just want to also mention that God is doing amazing things all over the world. I heard stories this week of German people getting saved. Okay, that is amazing. Young German people. Okay. Revival is, bro. One of the speakers at the conference just telling us how like thousands of Germans would gather over these Holy Spirit. They had Holy Spirit meetings and thousands are coming and they're doing it like every month and the young German people are coming to these meetings and people are getting saved. And even in his church, he's having people from the Muslim faith getting saved in his church. By the tens and the fifties and he's trusting for the hundreds, but up to now it's like up to 70 people at a time. Muslims and refugees and everyone and the young German people as well. People from England are getting saved. Now England is a hard country, but there were testimonies of the church there that, and it's maybe not in the masses yet. I want to say it's not in the masses yet, amen. But it will be in the masses because God is moving. And so testimonies of people having to really walk a path with people, but eventually people getting saved, people giving their lives to God. There's stories about Ireland, Scotland. Guys from Argentina saying in South America, revival is busy breaking out. Singapore. We had 44 different nations represented at this conference. It was just amazing to see how God so loved the world. Not God loved Bloemfontein or God loved me. God loved South Africa. God so loved the world. Amen. The nations of the world. And God is moving. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of this. Amen. And you know what? It's not going to happen automatically, guys. Okay, that's the bad news tonight. We're not going to automatically be a part of it. Okay? We've got to choose to be a part of it. We've got to choose to be a part of what God is doing. And I'm just so excited. We have to reposition ourselves because it's only the beginning. God is going to do amazing stuff. And God is doing stuff in our nation with those who want to go with Him. So tonight I just want to quickly share from Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. Just four things, four thoughts that I'm going to leave you guys with. And I'm going to trust tonight that God revives some of us tonight, just like He's been reviving me. And I know I'm still going to go through a lot of stuff. So God has just started. He's not finished. But I'm so excited. Acts chapter 2. Okay? If you haven't got a Bible yet, please sit next to a believer. Okay? Only joking. Okay? I love you guys. I love you guys. I just want to pray before. In fact, let's stand. Okay? I'm delivered from PowerPoint. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? I'm preaching from the Bible. Like Wim Angus, you know? So I want to say to you guys, let's bring our Bibles to church, okay? We might not have PowerPoint for the next while just because God's into change. Amen? It's awesome. Hallelujah. If I can change, everyone can change. Amen? God loves us so much. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Before we read, let's just pray. Father, we honor your word tonight, Lord. Lord, we actually repent, God, because so many times we just take a Bible and we just take it for granted, Lord. But tonight we honor your word. We come back to, Lord, the power of your word, Lord. And we thank you tonight. We just give you glory that this word will speak to us tonight, Lord, because we're not into just emotions, Lord. We're not into just psyching each other up, Lord. We're here to read your word, Lord, and to experience what your word says to us tonight. So we receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. You may be seated. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. And by the way, guys, today is Pentecost Sunday in the charismatic and Pentecostal churches all over the world. People are celebrating Pentecost Sunday, okay? Just to come back to what happened in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, say, fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Say, one accord, one place. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I want to share four things out of each of these verses which I believe God wants to do in our midst. The question is, how did revival happen? How did the Holy Spirit break forth in Acts chapter 2? And what can we learn from it to let revival happen in our hearts and in hearts of people around us? Okay, that's what I want to answer tonight. Number one, there was a very specific atmosphere that was created in this church. A very specific atmosphere or culture or environment. You can call it what you like, but there was a specific atmosphere or culture that happened in this verse. Okay? And I see it as preparation. I see it as breeding ground. You know, a breeding ground, every farmer knows you have to prepare the soil. Okay? And God is into preparation. God is into a breeding ground where His word, His promises, His truth can really make, you know, actually come to life. Because you get bad breeding grounds and you get good breeding grounds, isn't it so? You let meat rot for a couple of days, that's an awesome breeding ground for maggots, okay? That's not a nice breeding ground, but it's a breeding ground. And I believe, you know, we live in a sinful world, and so a breeding ground will naturally go bad. A breeding ground will just naturally be bad unless you do something, isn't that so? A breeding ground is not going to be conducive to the Holy Spirit moving and to God moving unless something happens. We're going to look for that tonight. That's why God didn't just pour out His Spirit randomly. There was a very specific culture and atmosphere that was created in this church. And I believe God wants to do it in our church. Amen. I believe He really wants to do it in Shofar. He wants to do it all over, but you know, I'm responsible for this church. So I believe my faith is that God would do it here. God would say, Shofar Bloemfontein is a breeding ground for me to come and move and to do awesome stuff, to do miracles and wonders and signs in our midst. So what was this atmosphere? First of all, there was an atmosphere of faith. Because that's what I learned this week. We need to come back to faith, guys. We have just let things happen in our lives. We just, whatever happens, happens. You know, que sera, sera. How does it go? Whatever will be, will be. You know, we lose our faith. We've forgotten what God has said. And God said to these guys, He said, wait in the upper room. I'm going to pour out my spirit. So what did they do? They had faith. They were obedient. Obedience is faith. It's hearing from God and doing what God said. There's an atmosphere of faith. There's a breeding ground of faith. And I believe we need to get back to that. I believe we just let it happen and we let the devil run over us and we let the devil lie to us, and we need to get back to a raw, resilient, courageous faith. Amen? Who's excited for that tonight, okay? And we don't have it. Let's be honest. We don't always have it. But God is doing something. God is bringing us back to this place of faith. So that's the first thing. This atmosphere of faith. Secondly, it says that they were, in verse 15 of Acts chapter 1 or in verse 14, they continued with one accord in prayer. I believe the atmosphere that God loves to move in, the atmosphere that God loves to manifest His presence in is a culture and an atmosphere, an environment of prayer. And it was confirmed this week through every speaker. And I'm reading stories of revivals and stuff, and it's just, there's no revival. Nothing will happen without prayer. And I want to add one thing to it, fasting. Amen. We do it once a month, okay? But we kind of do it because we have to, you know, it's like a church program. But do we have a culture of prayer? Do we have an environment of prayer, of being in one accord at the same time? I don't say we have to do 24/7 church where we're all together, yeah, like for hours and hours. That's not God's heart. But God's heart is that we do get together from time to time. We do come together in one accord, in one place, and there's an atmosphere, there's an environment where God can move and He can do amazing stuff. The one night on this mission, we were in Trafalgar Square. Okay, Trafalgar Square is this massive open plain in London. And so we had a praise and worship there. Okay, now Richard Wade, the one guy, he just said to the people, listen here, it's going to feel very weird, like you know, if the police like come upon us, then we'll stop. But otherwise, we're just going to carry on. And one guy says, or not, you know, like, no, if the police come, we won't stop. We'll just carry on. So he just said to the guys, just relax, you know, it's probably weird for people, but we're going to do this. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. And it wasn't like we were masses of people, probably 30 or so people from the mission and the London congregation. And so we started to worship the Lord. And I'm like looking around, I'm thinking, yes, and now these heads start to look over there, and guys start to come, and they think, you know, they hear the djembe going nicely there because it makes an awesome sound. And suddenly people start to, not masses, but people start to flock there and start to see, well, what is happening here. And so we started to minister to, there was Muslim people, there was like young people there, like just inquisitive as to, what is this all about? What are these guys singing about? And you know, the contrast between our joy and the presence of God there as opposed to their lives, you know, the lifestyle there in Europe is very, everyone is so serious and so down and like, you know, life, they've got everything, but yet they're still so, most people are just lacking joy. And the contrast between, you know, us lifting up Jesus, it was just such a difference between the light and the darkness. And the darkness is drawn to the light. The people started to be drawn. And we could pray for people and talk to people and minister to weird and wonderful people. But you know, what is amazing is it's this atmosphere of prayer and faith. And the third thing I want to say is unity. There was like a sense of oneness. We're doing this to glorify God. We're not doing it to look good or to, you know, to be weird. We just did it to glorify God. But there was this atmosphere, and you know, God is drawn to that. God is drawn to this, and people are going to be drawn to it. I believe worship is the key. Worship is awesome because it's just so countercultural. It's like we worship ourselves. We worship everything else. Who's this God that you're worshiping? But people are going to see the joy. People are going to see the difference. It was so amazing just to see how God drew people. And God is drawn to that place. God is drawn to an atmosphere where we believe, doesn't matter what the circumstances. We're going to look weird at times. We're going to be wacky and stuff. But you know, we're not. If God says we must do that, we must do it. Amen. If God says He wants to do a miracle, then He's going to do a miracle. Let's not box God in. And so I want to ask this evening, are we prepared to believe God for the impossible? Are we prepared to believe God and have faith? And let's do it together. And you know, the sense of one place and one accord talks to me about not a unity that's manufactured. It's a fellowship. It's a love for one another. That's what that one accord and one place is. It's not, you know, in church we start talk about unity and we try and, you know, force everyone into unity. And that's not the unity God wants. The unity is a sense of really love for one another and love for God. But an environment, an atmosphere where God can move and God can feel welcome. Then number two, let's read verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. When this atmosphere and this environment is created and God starts to move, you know what? You are going to know it. Amen. You are going to know that God has visited you. And we as a church will know that God has come to do stuff in our midst. We're not going to doubt it, okay? There's so much confusion many times in the kingdom of God, and especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And I want to say we must stop this confusion. We've got to believe God when He moves. Amen? But you know, these guys were not confused. They didn't start asking questions and wonder, oh, is this rushing wind now? Is it from the east or the west or from here? Or let's work it out. God said it would be there. You know, it's now here. So there was no like doubting. They just knew they had a visitation from God. And so many times for us, there's confusion. And God said, if it comes from heaven, you will know that it's God. Amen. Amen. It's come from heaven. It's a sound of a mighty wind came from heaven. It came from heaven. And so God wants to visit us. It wants to be a heavenly visit. And then it says, filled the whole house. Say whole house. You know what that whole house represents now for us? It's this thing. Where's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Point to your heart. Point to your body. Just touch your body and say, temple of the Holy Spirit. When God comes to visit us, when revival comes, you know what? It's going to fill your whole body, and it's going to fill the whole church, and it's going to fill... Everyone's going to know about it. Those who are in unity. I'm talking about those who are with one accord in one place. Those who are seeking God with a pure heart, with faith, and with a desire to pray and to fast if necessary, to do whatever it takes to say, God, we want you. We're desperate for you. He's going to fill your whole house. Amen. And you know what that means? You're going to be healed physically, spiritually, emotionally. You're going to be a whole person. Anyone here want to be a whole person? Say whole house. Whole person. Holy Spirit come. Amen. Okay? You're going to have a visitation from heaven. It's amazing. One of the sessions I was in, this guy from Argentina was preaching. Fiery guy. Him and his daughter, he was actually translating. He was preaching in their language, and his daughter was translating. It was just amazing how they worked together. You can just see when he passes away, the daughter will just carry on. She's also anointed like that. But when he's preaching, and he's just I don't know what he was talking about, but I just had such an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So he called everyone forward, or those who wanted to go forward. So I'm going forward now, but I'm just like, the tears are just running. I'm like, you know that feeling in your mouth and throat when you're like, you don't want to look like you're crying now. I have it in the movies sometimes. You know, I want to show my wife that I'm crying, you know, like, so I'm like, I'm holding it back. It's like burning in my throat, okay? So I'm holding these tears back, and if God just says, let go, okay? And I'm like, tears are just coming, and like, I don't know all these people here anyways. I'm just, oh, this is freedom, you know. Like. And guys, and then, you know, then the guy said, lay hands on the person and pray more, Holy Spirit, more, you know, more. And guys are going crazy, and I'm just like crying, and these guys are praying for me, and I'm thinking, I'm like a baby now, you know. It's like, but amazing. Amazing freedom, filling my whole being. The Holy Spirit comes, and I feel like a train hit me. You know, we go for lunch with all the other people, and I'm like just in my own zone there, because just had such an awesome encounter with the living God. A visitation from heaven, a sound from heaven filling the whole house. And I want to say tonight, He wants to fill your house tonight. Amen. Right where you are, you know, where they were sitting, the Holy Spirit came. It says where they were sitting. Tonight, where you're sitting, if you want the Holy Spirit, He can fill you right now. Maybe some of you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and He wants to come and fill you tonight. Amen. That's where it starts. Revival starts, the fire starts in your own heart. A visitation from heaven. Then number three, verse three goes like this. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Say each of them. Once again. The fire came down on each of them. It's the same with John Wesley. John Wesley had that experience. And I just think it's amazing that you know, it would be fire. Fire is a good thing. Fire can also be a bad thing. And I want to say tonight, the Holy Spirit's fire is not a destructive fire. Amen. So maybe some of you are fearful, oh, this fire that people talk, you know, I don't like this. What I want to say tonight, it's a warmth. That's what John Wesley said. It strangely warmed my heart. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He warms us. He makes us so in love with Jesus. He makes us experience Jesus' heart, Jesus' love. It's the Spirit of Christ. Then the question I want to ask is, why tongues? Why is it a tongues thing? Why is it not a ear thing or a leg? You know, why not flames of legs or flames of, you know, other body parts? Why tongues? Anyone know? Because what is your tongue? Your tongue is a weapon. Amen. Your tongue is either a weapon for the enemy or a weapon for God. James says it. Your tongue is either a thing that you'll be used to curse people, you'll use to speak negative and speak doubt and speak unbelief, or your tongue can be a place where you speak faith, where you praise God. Amen. Just like tonight, we praise God with our tongues. And that's why tongues is, you know, tongues is such a controversial topic. But you know why we speak in tongues? It's to cleanse our mouths. Amen. Because guess what? We all like Isaiah. We come from a people of unclean lips. And anyone here from a people of clean lips? Like anyone born here from a people of clean lips? No, we're born from unclean parents, unclean people. We just are sinners. Bah, bad news. Anyone here always speak life? Because you must pray for me. We all need to speak life when instead we speak death. And so many times we confess unbelief, we confess negativity, and God is amazing in His wisdom. He poured out the Spirit and He gave them tongues. He gave them a new mouth, a new tongue to speak. And so I want to say, let's allow the Spirit of God to come upon us, to warm us, but let's allow Him to change our mouths and to change our voices and at the same time to give us boldness. Amen? To give us boldness to speak the gospel. Give us boldness to testify to people. And it came upon each one of them. So turn to someone next to you and say, that's you. Someone is going to get excited tonight. Someone is going to get excited. Amen. And then verse 4. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know what they did? They prepared the ground. There was an atmosphere, a culture, an environment where God could visit them. And there was a visitation from heaven. The Holy Spirit came. And He gave them new tongues. He gave them a new life. He gave them an encounter. And He said to them, now go and change your environment. And what did they do? The Holy Spirit came upon them and they started to speak boldly. They started to prophesy. They started to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ, and each in his own language. We know the rest of the story. And it was weird for the people. It was very weird. People said they're drunk. They're wacky, these guys. But you see, as the Spirit gave them utterance, they were led by the Spirit. So they weren't wild. They weren't like out of control. Okay, so no out of control stuff here. But it's a boldness. Amen. It's a passion. It's a zeal for God. And when God says move, we move. We don't ask questions. We don't like wonder, is this God or not? We just move because we know it's the Holy Spirit. And you know what we do when we do that? We change our environment. Say, change your environment. On the way back from the one session, the last session, actually, we sat on the train now. London, you'd ride on the train. Okay, it's awesome. If you've never been on a train, go to London. You'll go onto the tubes and trains, and it's just awesome. So we're sitting on the train now. I'm there, and Richard and Jolene, these the other two chauffeur people, are next to me. And I'm on my own here, and there's two places open and one next to me. So these, like, guys, two guys, and one of the guy had a girlfriend. And they sit now there with me now. And so, like, so now, you know, the normal thing on the train is just to, like, everyone just, you know, keeps to himself. You either bring out your phone or a book or you look out the window. There's no communication, you know, like, that's just how it is there. So I'm thinking, this is an opportunity. Now I see these guys probably come from a gig and they weren't drunk. They were actually, you know, this is like 10 o'clock at night. But they look quite nice people, you know. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to change this atmosphere. Because I can sit here on my own and just look out the window and do the natural thing, you know. don't have to talk to them, and they definitely wouldn't talk to me if I didn't talk to them. So I thought, you know, when you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you can change an atmosphere. Amen? Because there's this atmosphere of, we're all just our own people. Don't talk to other people. We just... So I started to ask them, you know, have you guys, oh, it looks like you've just been at a gig. You know, I kind of just knew that because they're musical instruments, and I'm sure that, yes, no, they've, okay, cool, what kind of music? And now I'm thinking, I need Richard Wade, like he's a band guy, like I'm not at all a connector with music. So I'm like out of my comfort zone, yeah. Like, I'm thinking Richard and Jolene start talking, you know, like I'm, but I'm just talking to these guys. Then I start to ask them, you know, okay, they ask me, this is the best thing about being a pastor, okay. So I asked them first, what do they do and everything. And now they are young working people, but they started a band now and all that. And then they asked me, so what do you do? So now I remembered what one of the speakers said. Okay. So one of the speakers, he's from Britain now. He's got a very nice English accent. So he says, now he had the same experience talking to this lady on the plane once. And he says, now the lady asked him, so what do you do? Oh, I work for this global organization. We've got outlets all over the world. Oh, wow, she says. Yes, it's amazing. We change people's lives and we make a difference. He sounded a bit like Mr. Bean, you know, who's got saved. He's a pastor, very cool guy. But he's got this accent. Oh, wow, she says. And what is it called? And he says, it's called the church. Have you heard of it? And so he said, have you heard of it? You know, like, yeah. So I tried to do the same thing, but, you know, I started laughing halfway through because I'm thinking these guys, I'm like, I work for this global enterprise and all of this stuff. And anyway, I just said, no, you know what? I work for the church. Have you heard of it? You know, like, yes, but I'm not religious. You know, that's the first answer you get, but I'm not religious. Like, I said, well, I'm not either. But so you talk to these people and you change the atmosphere because God is with you. And so I know, I could see it, I could see these guys, like they are so now obviously into their atheism and they don't believe. And the one guy said, no, he believes we come back as something else after life. And, you know, we're just surviving, we've got no purpose. But I could see the change in these guys. They were thinking about life. Amen. I didn't lead them to Christ or anything like that, but I just left them with a seed to think about, where's your life going? Who are you? Are you here by chance or by some big bang or are you designed? Is there a creator who loves you? And I told them the whole gospel. But you know, it's like the screensaver comes on. But I could see afterwards there was a change because there was a change in the atmosphere. It's a change in the culture, change in the environment. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, then we change the environment. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm frustrated that the devil keeps us in our, you know, struggling little worlds. And you know, he just lies to us. And he, you know, I don't know. You know, we don't seem to change the atmosphere. We don't seem to boldly stand up. And when we walk into a place, things change. Because we represent the living God. Amen? Your classroom should be different. Your family should be different. It happened when I got saved and Spirit-filled. You know, my family were asking a lot of, they saw something wacky's happened to this guy. Something's changed. But your family changes, and whether they get saved over 50 years or directly, it's up to God. But something changes, and I believe, guys, it's time for us to change the atmosphere around us. It's time for us to change the culture in this city. Amen? Time for us to change the culture in this province, to change the culture in our classes, in this university. It's time for us as believers to stand up and start to change the culture and be bold for Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Can we clap for Jesus because he's awesome? Amen. You know, we must start getting excited in church. We are so quiet in church, okay? We're like, yeah, Dominie, yeah, you know, like... We've got to start getting excited and passionate for the gospel again, guys. Amen? Because Jesus is awesome. He's just amazing. And Jesus is preparing his bride for a great outpouring, okay? See, oh, we are victors in Christ. Instead of being the other way around, instead of always being the defeated ones, instead of always being the well, we've got to stand back. It's time for us to have faith and to be bold and advance the kingdom of God. Because I am sick of stepping back now. We're going to advance the kingdom of God. We're going to do it together. Amen. As an army. God is raising up an army. We're going to do it together. And so I believe tonight, we're going to, as the band comes up, we're going to pray tonight. Because I believe God has got a fresh anointing for some people here tonight. Amen. If your heart is open, and you can tonight declare your heart as the atmosphere, you're going to say, God, I need it. I realize that I've just grown happy with the same old, same old. I'm just okay with surviving. Just like the good British kids, you know. Let's just survive because we don't really have a purpose. And I'm not knocking them now. We must pray for them. But I believe when those guys start to see the gospel, I believe Europe is going to be changed. The world is going to be changed. When people start, and when we as the South Africans, we can take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We should be. We should be going on a mission. We should be going for, you know, every day. And one speaker also said, you know, instead of saving up so much money to go on a mission overseas, just go next door. Walk next door. That's the mission field. And it starts there. It starts by just changing the environment in the house next to you, or the res next to you, or the family next to you. But let's do it with a boldness. Let's do it with a passion. You see, it all starts with you and it starts with me. It starts with a greater surrender, a greater hunger and a thirst for God. And, you know, God showed me what our vision must be for a Sunday service. You know what that is? And it's so amazing. It's all coming together now. Our vision for a Sunday service must be to create a hunger and a thirst for God. If we're not doing that here, we must do something else then. We must do evangelism on a Sunday. Go out rather. But what's great about a Sunday and a church service is that if we can bring people here and they are more hungry and more thirsty for God when they leave here, then that's all. That's awesome. But it starts with us. Are we hungry and thirsty for God? Are we desiring so much of God that we cannot sleep at night? We're like, God, I want more of you. Because I want to see, and miracles and signs and wonders aren't for them in themselves. But I believe God wants to do miracles, guys. We are not going to see the world changed with our own good efforts. Eh? I've been in the ministry for a while now. And you know, we've tried a lot of things. And God is saying to us, don't try anymore. I want to manifest my power. I want to manifest my glory. And people must get healed. We must lay hands on the sick and they must get healed so they can see God is good, not us. We must see people set free. And Saturday we're going to see it. Those who are coming to Liberty, you're going to be set free. I know it. God is going to do awesome stuff. So come. If you haven't signed up for Liberty, come, please. So we trust Him for God to do stuff in our lives. And not just to play church anymore. Not just to go through a program. Who's in for that? Anyone excited for that on campus? Anyone excited for that in Bloemfontein? Let's all stand this evening. I want to ask you, we're going to have to make lots of space here in the front. I want to ask you guys to come forward. There's a couple of people specifically. First of all, some of you need to let go of your minds tonight. Because you're working out so much stuff. And you know what? When it comes to the Holy Spirit, we can never work Him out. And lo and behold, if we do, let's never try and box the Holy Spirit in. Let's never work Him out. Amen? Some of us need to put our minds aside and we need to say, God, I'm surrendering because I'm thinking, I'm calculating, I'm working. Is it from you? Is it not from you? Is it, God, I'm. And I want to say, let's stop with that. Let's put our minds aside. Some of you have to let go of your mind and you need to surrender there. Some of you need healing in your heart. Your heart has grown hard and your heart is still hurt by people and whatever it is. I want to say, come. Come tonight for healing, physical. If you need physical healing here tonight, God is interested in your whole being. You know what? He wants to make our bodies effective. Amen? We've got to start believing for healing again, guys. Because we as Christians, we just walk through the life sick and we're happy with sickness. Sickness stops in Jesus' name. Amen? And we've got a desire for ourselves. Stop. Sickness does not have a hold over us in Jesus' name. I believe some of you have lost your hope and your faith. You need to trust God again, guys. Because you can't have great faith if you can't even just trust God and His promises, just on who He is. So I want you to come forward. If the Lord is speaking to you tonight, if you want an encounter with the Lord tonight, if you want an anointing, I believe there's an impartation here tonight, a fresh impartation. If it's not me, I'm just trusting God to do this because I received something. I just want to bless you guys with it. I want to give it out, eh? And you can do the same. Tonight, you're going to have an encounter with God. You're going to have God anoint your life. And you know, you're going to do the same to other people. You're going to lay hands on people and they're going to experience, oh, God is real. God is here. So if the Lord is speaking tonight about anything, even if it's not the stuff I've mentioned, just come. If you're hungry for God, if you want more of God tonight, if you feel the Lord is speaking to you, come. Facilitators, you guys can also come and pray. But if you're a leader here tonight and you need a fresh impartation, you need a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ tonight, then come. He's here tonight to touch our lives. Let's be obedient tonight. If God is calling, I know you might feel, oh, I can't come forward. I don't want to show people. I'll do this at home. I want to say, don't do it at home. I could have said that at the conference. I still thought, no, man, I'll do it after. You know what? The time was now. God spoke. God delivered me. God set me free. Don't even know what He did. I just know He did something. So if the Lord is speaking to you, come. Let's worship Him tonight. We're just going to worship the Lord tonight, okay? We're going to pray for people specifically, and we're going to trust God to impart something powerful. So leaders, every leader, come to the front. If you're not being prayed for, then I want you to pray for people. If you're not praying, I want to pray for you that we as leaders also start to impart life to people again. Amen. Laying hands on people and seeing stuff happening. Guys, we've got to have faith. We've got to believe again as a church. Amen. Lord, you're awesome tonight. Let's worship God.